Will you and I be judged for what we do? Let's talk about that today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer. So appreciative of you guys who are following along and letting us know. If you've not subscribed, whether it's on our podcast or here on the YouTube channel, be sure and do so, and maybe even share it and get the word out. We're walking through, as you know, books of the Bible, chapter and verse. We are presently in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Today we're going to be in verse 9 through 11, dealing with the subject, will you be judged for what you do? We know that salvation is by grace. Paul says, not of works, lest any man should boast. But let's read this passage and see what's being told us about what we do in our body. Look with me in verse 9. Paul begins, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now let's look at these verses and let's walk through them very carefully. When he says, therefore, we know, of course, he's talking about what he's just presented. And in these teachings, I'm taking just a few verses at a time, so it may seem like it's out of context if you've just joined us. But in the previous verses, he's talking about we walk by faith, and we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And as long as we're in these bodies, he said, therefore, we are not with the Lord. Now, we know the Lord's with us, but he's talking about being with the Lord face to face and finishing this life. And he uses that transition when he says, therefore, we make it our goal. We make it our aim. This is something that's ever before us, he says, whether present, meaning, or absent, to be well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, obviously, once you're absent from the body and with him, there's nothing else that you can do in this life. That's why he says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done. Now, when we say, therefore, this aim, his aim was be what? To be well-pleasing. That was his aim. Sometimes we may wonder what people think of us, but this would be a good time to forget about what people think of us. And what is it that we present to God from this life and in these bodies? Both our motive, because he says, done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So there's a motive represented here as well. When we do something to please the Lord, is it possible? Now, I know right now with an emphasis, which we should have an emphasis upon grace, but there are those who are teaching an emphasis upon grace that would not, number one, even have Christians to repent, saying that that's not for Christians, that that's for sinners, and that's for people. Well, obviously, it is for sinners to repent and come to Christ. Obviously, the scripture is clear on that. But 2 Corinthians chapter 7 is clear from Paul's writing to this same church and to Christians that godly sorrow works repentance. Forgiveness is what's given to us freely. Repentance is what works in us. And yes, there's a sense of repentance in the fact we ask for forgiveness, and that's a part of it. But here in the passage concerning Christians repenting, it's really the idea that once we've come to Christ, yes, our sins are forgiven, but repentance works in us to change us, to go in a different direction. So there'll be those who say, well, in the day of grace, we don't even need to repent. Well, then there would also be those saying because of grace, it does not matter what we do. Now, we'll see in the scriptures, it is true, our salvation is in him, but there is a reward for what we do in these bodies. And it not needs to be considered, because when we get to heaven, there's not going to be any more need for faith. There's not going to be any more need for trials. Even though some people say God has faith, I get what they're saying in that what God believes what he says because he's God himself. But faith in this life is because Paul says, here we walk by faith and not by sight. Because then we're going to see fully. So in that sense, there will be no need for faith because we're going to see God completely and there'll be no need for trials, no need to be encouraged. Why? Because, or trying to be bold, we will have already been in that life. It's in this life where we have the opportunity to please God through faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. He says we must all appear before God, that he says before Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, according to the things that were done. These things described in the body, according to what he has done. Now the phrase here is the word judgment seat, which is the word bema. It was common in their day in the center of the city where judgments were made. And for Rome, the emperor made was called the Bema Judgment. That's where the judgments or judges would sit and make those judgments. So he's saying we must all appear before that, before Christ, accordingly. So there's two things here that's mentioned. What we have done will be judged, and the motives by what we've done will be judged. One's motivation and their acts are to please the Lord. Now, it's important that we once again emphasize here that Paul makes it very clear that all Christians will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All people will appear before Christ. Now, he's also very clear in all of his letters, whether it's to Ephesians or to the Corinthians, that we are not saved by works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by grace through faith alone, and that's it. So salvation is a gift given to us. It's not anything earned. However, there is something very clear that we don't think about enough. And I am convicted, even as I teach through this, of going before the Father to recognize that it's possible for us to be saved and yet live a wasted life in the sense that we lived our life for ourselves. Now, I know that sinners do that, and I'm not judging someone's eternal salvation, whether they're saved or not. That person can know by the witness of the Holy Spirit is before God, and of course there's fruit. But what he's saying here is that it does matter how we live. It does matter. He's encouraging these Christians to live in such a way. Why? Because God's not unjust. He will not forget your labor of love. There will be a reward with it. But he also says, for that which is good or bad. It's similar to what Paul wrote over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 through 15, when he says, now if anyone builds on this foundation, that means with their ministry, they're building on the foundation of Christ. And he says, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work. That means work done in the body, of what sort it is, of what motive it is, and whether it is pleasing to the Lord or not. He says, if anyone's work, which has been built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. That's what Paul's talking about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He will receive a reward. If not, that person's work will be burned up. He will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. So we're not talking about this judgment being saved or lost for the Christians. We're not saying that, because when you came to Christ, the terror of the Lord, so to speak, or the judgment of the Lord was laid on Christ. Our sin was imputed to him. You're going to see that later in this chapter when Paul addresses that he reconciled us to him. So our sin is taken care of. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. However, he's saying here that we will be rewarded and we will be judged by what we do in these bodies. Whether the deeds are pleasing to the Lord, as we serve others, as we minister according to his will, if we follow after him, or if we just believe in him for salvation, but we live our own life that's not pleasing to him, and each one will be judged. Now, that's an awesome thing to think about. There does need to be some motivation here, and Paul is saying that right here, that we must live with the understanding that our motives will be judged. That's what he's saying. and still be saved. We can have the wrong motive. That's what we just read. So he's motivated by this awareness. He's motivated, Paul says. He's making it his aim of the coming judgment in reference to being absent from the body. Now, God's grace to us in forgiving our sins does not mean that we can be careless about how we live. There can slip into us this idea that doesn't matter how we as Christians live because our sins are forgiven, especially those of us who believe in the sovereign grace of God and believe in the keeping power of God. I believe that God keeps me, and what he began in me, he will complete it. But there's still this awesomeness, awareness of presenting my body, the deeds done in my body. In other words, my actions while here on this earth, the accountability that we have before the Lord is not affecting our eternal destiny, but it is affecting eternal rewards. It is eternal things. There is a consequence of reward in eternal things that's applied here. That's why Paul says in verse 11, knowing therefore the terror or the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I trust also well known to your conscience. So he says, because we know of this, that all men will stand before God. Now there is the idea that Christians, he's talking about here, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but all people will, and those who have not accepted Jesus, there is a terror that still rests upon them. Judgment still rests upon them. They're condemned already, and there will be eternal judgment for those who have rejected Christ. And those of us who have accepted Christ, that judgment has already been laid on Christ. So the salvation, whether we're saved or not, has already been laid on Christ as we believe in him. That's not laid on us. But the reward of deeds that's done in this body does. Now he ends this by saying, because we know the terror of the Lord, he's really referencing, I want to persuade, I'm going to beg, I'm going to do everything I can to get people to come to Christ. Why? Because Paul does not know who it is that's going to believe. We must preach the gospel because we don't know who's going to believe and who's not. He said, therefore we persuade men, we make every effort. Why? Because we know the terror of the Lord. If we don't preach the gospel, it's not that we're afraid of the terror of the Lord, it's that we know other people will face the terror of the Lord. And therefore, we are persuaded to preach the gospel. That's what Paul is talking about. If you've never thought about that, I'm going to ask you today to consider, as a believer, how is your life? Is it pleasing unto the Lord? Oh, I'm not talking about whether or not you're going to heaven or not. If you trust in Christ for your salvation, he's the only one that knows eternal judgments. I don't. But I do know even believers will be held accountable for what we do. Let's think about that today in the Word.